I look and I see these two young people over here who are doing what they're doing for the love of God, and I get the impression that they might not realize what they're doing. They're just doing something, and that's an advantage in having youth on your side. You just do stuff. But here they are doing stuff in the house of God. And this just shows that. And we have others in the facility as well. That you saw them up here doing devotion. And they're ushering and they're doing announcements. And it seems like a small thing. And they might think they're messing up and they're not doing all right. But that's okay. There's not a one of us in here that don't have some mess ups in our lives. And some of us have them so big we are still scared of them. Because we did them, and to God be the glory that he got us through it. So I'll just tell you to just keep on keeping on. And God will bless what you do. A little bit with God is a whole lot. Because God can touch it and he can magnify it. Amen. Let me share this with you. Our guests didn't hear me say this, but when you see them next year or the year after, and a group from France come here, they usually come here for worship service, and when they do that, I reminisce and I think about Deacon Sam Hayes. That was one of his pet peeves. He loved the sister city, he and Mother Hayes, and he got them to come to our worship service, and they just started coming. And last year, this time when they were here, we had just put the marquee. Ushers, you may take your seat. We had just put the cornerstone laying out there in the front of the building, and it was back in France before it got all the way over the United States, because they took pictures of it and carried it back. And we thank God for that. That just goes to show that what you do when you do it for God, God will get the glory from it. And we just thank God for you and all that you've done to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. A subject this morning from the passage that was read in your hearing. A great call to total commitment. A great call to total commitment. And I put the word total there because you can be committed and not be totally committed. You can just be committed as far as your head will take you. And that's as far as your commitment will go. But when you are totally committed, you're sold out. You're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that your commitment stands, because you do not want to leave that. And that's where we are in this passage of scripture here today. In this chapter, the last chapter in the book of John, Christ is approaching his disciples and is discovered unto them by a miraculous drought of fish. They were doing some common things, some fishing, and God helped Jesus help them with the catching some fish. And then he had a meal with them, proving that he was yet in the flesh. But see, when you are a child of God, there's always something to do. There was yet some more teaching that needed to be done to the apostles, the people that were going to turn the world upside right for God. Brothers and sisters, and just because you get saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean that that's all that there is to it. You got to do something else. You got to be sold out. You have to just turn everything over to him, because there's not anything that you can do to make somebody come this way or make them see your your commitment. Point number one, total commitment requires following the leadership of another. Total commitment requires following the leadership of another. You can be committed to commit yourself to something, but if you only follow yourself, you won't get very far. Who is this another in this verse, that in this title that he's talking about? And before you wander off too far away from it, I'll just go ahead and tell you who he is. He is the Holy Spirit. That's the another in this context that you need to follow. This means that those who were to carry Peter to his death, the Romans, are the Holy Spirit. The Romans were used by God to help Peter stay to the commitment that he had made. But Peter's commitment was to Jesus Christ and because of the Holy Spirit. It was to carry Peter through death and through his life of suffering and martyrdom for the cause of Christ. Peter had made a commitment to Christ. And brothers and sisters, we don't realize how severe, how strong our commitment is until we start walking on this road. Some of us are on a road to remain healthy, and sometime early in the morning when you get up or when you wake up, it's hard to get up because you just want to lay there just a little while longer. Like me, I turn over and look at the clock and I say, God, 5 more minutes. But then because of the commitment that I have made, I go ahead and get up. That's the way it is with serving God. You don't know how committed you are until you are tested. That was one of the lessons in some time. Was that the day tested faith? In Sunday school. And let me put this plug in. 9:30. Sunday morning, 9:30 Sunday morning, church starts at 9:30 because it's Sunday church school. So I would just love to see all of you here next Sunday morning. And someone told us in seminary, said when the pastor stands up in the pulpit and says something, say the members need to receive it as a personal invitation from the pastor to come. And I'm going to spend a few seconds looking right here. I'm going to spend a few seconds looking right over here. And I'm going to spend a few seconds looking right over here. You are cordially invited to Sunday school, 9:30 next Sunday morning, which will be the very first day in May. You can start your half a year resolution. Sunday school, 9:30 on May the 1st. And the Holy Spirit will meet you here. He will meet you here. So you just need to get here because he's already here. In this passage, Jesus was referring to the whole life of a man called Peter. And John is there too, so both of them was making a commitment to Christ. This ranged from the early years of what he did when he wanted to do what he was doing. He's telling Peter, and this is in verse 18, that but now in this scripture, the Holy Spirit is going to take him. Jesus was calling Peter to a total commitment, and total commitment requires following the Holy Spirit. When Peter was young, he girded himself, dressed and walked wherever he willed. Before he knew Christ, he ran his life as he willed. Did what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, and where he wanted to do it. Talked as he willed. And from just thinking about Peter, he had to have a good life because he was a fisherman. And fishermen were considered to be rowdy people and did the things that they wanted to do. When he was younger, or even before ever coming to know Christ, he did just what he wanted to do. Anybody else ever been there? Most of us, not all of us, have done what we thought we wanted to do before we were totally surrendered to Christ Jesus. But now that I have surrendered my life to Christ, I can't go do the things that I used to do. I can't go where I used to go. Can't say what I used to say. Can't act like I used to act, because there's something down on the inside of me that just won't let me do it. We're talking about a total commitment that requires us to follow the leadership of another. And I told you earlier, this another is the Holy Spirit. You have to surrender yourself to follow him, to do what he wanted to do. Peter was able to live and do what he wanted when he wanted, but no more. And wherever I said, Peter, you put your name, because you can't do it neither. Because if you have surrendered to Christ, there's something that will hinder you from doing what you used to do.
Yes.
Hello, somebody.
Yes.
Because of your love for God. The people that you know that badmouth you, that you used to try to say something worse about them than they said about you. When you hear it that was said about you now, because you are following the another, you will not respond to it. You will put your tongue between your teeth and you will bite down on it, because you are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Peter could no longer live as he wished, because Jesus Christ, his Savior, was now in control of his life. When Peter was old and mature, the Holy Spirit would dress him and carry him places he would not choose or will to go. Let me put a pin right here, because I need to tell you something right here. That when you decide to follow Christ, you give up the ways of the world.
Yes.
You dress yourself different.
Yes.
You dress yourself with righteousness,
yes,
holiness. Mm-hmm. You servant, you become a servant. Where before you had people to serve you, now you serve people. And you enjoy doing it because you have dressed yourself. You even look different. You even act different. You may think you're walking the same, but God have ordered your steps. When he ordered your steps, you don't go where you used to go, because you have surrendered to God, Lord God Almighty. You have made a decision that he will be in control of your life. Peter had to do some suffering while he was down here, and he was martyred. Peter was to undergo all of this for the sake of Christ. See, what we need to remember, the price that Christ paid for us to be able to have a right to the tree of life. Christ came down all the way from heaven, all the way to a pig pen called earth, so that we would have a right to the tree of life. Christ made a commitment. He sold out. He said they need to have a way to get back in fellowship with God. And the only way was there to be a sacrifice that was pure. And Christ was that sacrifice. But since Peter was accepting to undergo all this for the sake of Christ, he accepted to do it. And Jesus had told him right up above where we started reading, he had told him three times to feed my sheep. You got to feed them. That means you got to give up something. You got to prepare what you're going to feed them. The man that's going to feed the sheep, he didn't just walk out there and say, feed, produce yourself. He had to prepare to feed the sheep. He had to plant it, and then he had to harvest it, and then he had to get it in the barn. When the sheep got ready to eat, he couldn't just take the food out there to them all at one time. He had to feed it to them as they were needed. I think sometimes this is why Jesus had asked Peter that three times. He asked him to feed my sheep. He asked him twice to feed my sheep. feed my sheep. And then he said, feed the lamb. And somebody said, why did he ask for sheep twice and lamb once? And somebody said, it takes two sheep to make one lamb. You got to understand that God has made a way for you to feed his sheep. I'm glad you asked. That's why I told you about coming to Sunday school. When you come and you get taught this word of God, it is food for your soul. See, somebody, every time they think of food, they think of the physical body. But your spirit man need to be fed. And the word of God is the right word. And you don't have to worry about calories in this. You don't have to worry about gaining weight in this. It will help you lose something, and it will help you gain something. You will lose the sin that's in your life, and you will gain eternal life when you eat on this word. But you have to be totally committed to this word of God. When you are totally committed, you will follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Well, I need to get on. I don't need to tarry too long. You got to choose. No matter what profession you choose, the Spirit is willing, and he'll go wherever he needs to go to get you to do what he needs for you to do. But he will not take you any place that God will not reside. He said, if you just come after me, I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive. I mentioned this yesterday morning when I was speaking to the men's at Eglin. I wonder how big are the windows in heaven that he can pour out a blessing that I won't have room to receive it. And in the tabernacle where we church, where we were yesterday, some of the windows were wider than the screen. And I thought about it. I said, if God pour out a blessing out that window and it come down, and I thought about those little narrow windows we have out there in front, that won't take it, and neither would those. But when God pour out his blessings, he's gonna bless the whole wide world. When he pours out his blessing, you got to understand that God will be with you when everything that you're doing. See, now this here, what Jesus was teaching Peter was before. Some of you have been in Bible study for the last 3 or 4 months, and we're in the book of Acts. This was before Peter went through all this suffering that he had to go through in the book of Acts. God was trying to prepare him. For Peter, you got to go through something. But if you just stay with me, I'll get you through whatever's going to come. He said, I'll leave a comforter with you. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. He'll comfort you. He'll keep you. And he'll lead and guide you. Peter was to die the death of a martyr, but Jesus was preparing Peter for this. See, brothers and sisters, you got to die a death. You got to die the death of your sin. If you don't like your sin, you won't commit them. If you love your sin, you will commit them. Most of us glorify our sin sometimes when we're witnessing the people. Don't glorify them. Just tell them about them. Don't act like you enjoy and tell them about them, because if you don't hate your sin, guess what? You'll be right back with your sin again. You have to learn to hate sin. Hate's not a bad word. It's a bad word if you put it towards another believer, but you need to hate your sin. You can't love it and yet walk with God, because if you do, you will go back to it. And Jesus was trying to tell Peter. Peter was a young man, but he had to get him straight. He had to let him know that, Peter, you're going to see some sunrises, and you're going to see some sunsets, and you're going to get old, and then you're going to want to go somewhere, and you can't go. Says somebody going to have to dress you. Somebody going to have to take you. Oh, but now, Peter, you're a young man. You go where you want to go. You go as fast as you want to go, and nobody can tell you when to slow down. But he said, Peter, when you get old, somebody else gonna have to dress you. And when what he was telling Peter, I don't believe Peter saw it. And I'm like Peter, I didn't see it either. either. But when you get old and you start walking with God, something got to dress you. You can't dress yourself. You got to tell him, say, Holy Spirit, fall on me. Dress me with what I need to be dressed with. Dress me, Holy Spirit, with patience, that I can have patience to go through what I'm going through. Dress me, Holy Spirit, with love and compassion for those that hate me and talk about me, those that think I don't know. Dress me, Holy Spirit, with what you need for me to be dressed with. That's when you're following the order of the Holy Spirit, and he is a leader and he is a guide. If you follow him, everything will be all right. What's that song? Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me where you would have me to go. When your leader is the Holy Spirit, he will take you in the right direction. Peter was happy to have Jesus there with him. Some people talk about him, talk about how bad he was, but he was a man after God's own heart. When he got right, he hadn't always been right. Is there anybody in here that have always been right with God? If you tell that lie, you will tell another lie, because we haven't always been right with God. You got to get right with God, and God will dress you with the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, Lord, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. Peter at this time was a young man, a married young man. And then we say he was married because it says somewhere in there Jesus went to his house and his mother-in-law. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you are married. So Peter had one, and history theologians tell us that Peter had his wife, was a servant of God. So that's why Peter could do what he did. So when Peter went somewhere, she went somewhere. When Peter was said Peter was crucified, and he was crucified upside down, he said, don't crucify me like Jesus, because I'm unworthy. Peter had got dressed then. He was fully tuxed out, had on his tuxedo, had on his cummerbund, had his little whatever else he needed. All of this is made of the Holy Spirit. It dressed him, y'all, because then he was ready to go home to be with Jesus. But history tells us that before Peter was crucified, they grabbed his wife and carried her out. Said, and on the way out, said Peter told her, said, remember thou the Lord Jesus Christ. And they carried her, and Peter watched them crucify. And then said, how long after they crucified Peter? But let me tell you, he was dressed in the Holy Spirit of endurance and long suffering, because Jesus had told him what was going to happen to him. See, if you listen to the word of God and you sink in the word of God, God will prepare you for what's coming.
Yes, he will.
All right, Peter was crucified in Rome because he would not stop preaching the word of God. See, when you're dressed and you're dressed for the occasion, it doesn't matter what else happened on the way to the occasion that you're going to, as long as you're dressed. If you're late and you get there, you're dressed. If you're early and you get there, you're dressed. No matter what happened, you're dressed. And see, the Holy Spirit will dress you for the occasion that he needs for you to be in. Oh, Peter was dressed in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had prepared him to receive him, because Peter was a strong-willed man. Didn't holler, you can't find where he tuck any stuff off of anybody. Jesus had to tell him to put up his sword when they came to get him. And it cut the man's ear off, but Jesus put it back on. See, now that proves to me that when I mess up, Jesus can fix it up. When I mess up, thinking I'm doing right, Jesus can fix it.
Yes.
Well, what's that song Reverend Jackson sang? Fix it, Jesus, fix it. He can fix it.
But we have to get in here. We need to be following the leadership of the another that's in this verse. And it's the Holy Spirit. Point number two. I know y'all thought I wasn't going to get to number two, didn't you? Point number two. Total commitment requires the cross and death to self. Total commitment requires the cross and commitment to death and self. It's hard to pick up the cross and follow him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Brothers and sisters, that's why you can't just be a Christian on Sunday. Yes. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. The people in Jesus' day knew what taking up your cross meant, because they had seen scores of criminals bearing the cross to the place where they were to be executed, and had witnessed scores of crucifixions, some even by the side of the road as they came and went into in and out of town. The cross does not mean just merely bearing one particular hardship in life, such as poor health or abuse or a wayward spouse, unruly child, misbehaving parents. The cross is always an instrument of death. It's never anything other than death. Brothers and sisters, that's why you have to take up your cross daily and die to yourself daily, every day. Because if you don't take it up every day, something will happen the day you decide not to take up your cross and follow Christ daily, because it is death. Very few people carried a cross that didn't die on that cross. Simeon did with Jesus, but Jesus died. He was forced to help him, but Jesus died on that cross. Christ will help you to get through the death of yourself. The death of yourself. Every born-again believer need for their sin to die and they not go back to their sin. If you go back to your sin and pick it up, it's not dead. It is alive. Christ would take our sin and away from us, and the sin can die because Christ can help us with getting through the sin. Now, don't sit there and look at me like you've been holy all your life. There are some things in all of our lives that we love to do. Sin. If sin was not enjoyable, we wouldn't have stayed in sin as long as we did. No matter how holy you may think you are now, you enjoyed your sin, whatever it was, or whatever it is. I hope there are no is's in here. So we need to make sure our sin die. We are to deny ourselves daily. Because of our love for Christ, there are some things that we need to deny ourselves of daily. And all of them don't have to be sin. Some of them are just, it's a sin for me to eat too much banana pudding. It's not a sin to eat banana pudding, but to eat too much of it is a sin. And with my wife around, I can't eat too much of it. So you understand what I'm saying? Now I used her because she's not going to get after me when I leave here, but she might do. But see, she does that to me because she loves me and I listen to her, and I don't want to hear on me after I get to the house, so I just won't eat it. Now, with the Holy Spirit, he'll touch something in your mind to let you know not to do that. Yes. I wouldn't do that. Uh-huh. Now, he's not going to make you. Now, if I want to be hard-headed like I am sometimes, I'll eat it. I'll eat it. But I'll pay for it because my sugar will be out of whack.
Yeah.
And I'd rather eat just a little bit of it than to have my sugar out of whack. And so if you listen, if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll whip you.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you go to bed early. I'm going to get me a good night's rest. You've done something you shouldn't have done. You just roll.
Yes.
Just roll. You look at the clock. It's 9 o'clock. Then you still looking at it. It's 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Wonder why I can't go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You did something. And the Holy Spirit is working in your mind because you are a child of God. It's just like when you were a child and you did something that mom and daddy told you not to do and they didn't whip you that day, but you got to get up in the morning. Yeah, uh-huh. Because he's in you. When you allow the Holy Spirit to, he tabernacles, he stays there. He doesn't come and leave as you. Okay. The Holy Spirit will put his will, his desire, his wants, his ambition. He will put all them into you, into each one of us. And then he will put to death those things that we do not need in our lives. But you have to allow him to tabernacle within you. The Holy Spirit is positive. He's not a negative resource. He's a positive resource. Just because he knows the things that we're not supposed to do, if I want to do them and I'm not supposed to do them, I can see what he does not want me to do is being negative. Not so. It's positive, but because if I receive him, I'm not going to want to do them. God can take you with what you think ought to be right and what he knows is right. If we were to do what he says for us to do, life would be so much easier and so much better. But we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to take you down a wrong path. It may seem like it's the wrong path. May seem like it's the long way and you know the shortcut. But sometimes the long way home is the best way home. Because you will get there, you won't have all the bumps in the road that you normally would have. The believer does not yield his bodily members to sin because the Holy Spirit is tabernacling within him. You do not allow your body to be used for sin. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That little pink dog behind that white picket fence. You do not need to use it for sin. And sometimes we think that we are helping and we are doing more harm than we are doing good. Repeat sometimes what you're going to say to somebody before they get there. Rehearse it so you will know how it sounds. And try to, if you can, especially if what you are saying to them you think is going to be negative, try to stand outside of yourself and say what you are going to say to them and then try to see how you think about it. How can I do that, Baggett? I don't know how you can do it, but I know how I do it. I tell myself, I say, now, I'm this chair. How do I feel about what you're saying? You stay in the same place all the time. You don't never move, don't never show any response or nothing. You just stay in the same place all the time. No. And sometimes we forget about the words we say and we don't think about the expression that we use them. Reverend Jett, he's not here today. Y'all pray for him. He's sick. He used to tell me all the time, watch your nonverbals, Pastor. Watch your nonverbals.
That's telling me to watch my expression. Like when I'm talking to Sister Carolyn, if I do that, she gets fighting mad. Because she said, I'm telling her she's nothing and she's thrown away. So I do that to Sister Tony. I won't do it to Sister Carolyn. So you see, the expression, sometimes we don't think about that. But it sends words, it sends volumes to other people. And if the Holy Spirit's inside of me, he will not allow me to do that. I talk about doing that to Sister Carolyn, but I haven't done that to her about two or three times. But after I found out it upset her, I won't do that to her. And I probably won't talk about it anymore after today. I'll leave it alone. So the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you where he needs for you to go. And you, if you respond to him the way he needs for you to respond, things will go well. But if you do not respond the way that a believer should respond, you will have some repercussion. Point number three, a total commitment requires attention to one's own task. Peter, in this passage of scripture, was concerned about what Jesus had in line for John. That's the other disciple that he's talking about in the latter part of this passage of scripture. He's worried about John because John and Peter were friends and working companions, business partners, and he was concerned about what Jesus had in line for John. And Jesus told Peter, said, don't worry about John. Not in those words. Worry about yourself. I got John taken care of. And he says, if I wish that he tarry till I come back, what is that to you? And it says in there that a rumor got out that John was going to never die. He was going to be living when Jesus come back. See, church folks haven't just started rumors. They've been doing it all the time. That's what that is right there. A rumor got out that John was not going to die. He was going to live till Jesus come back. John will still be alive today. So what you take away, make sure it's the truth. And we need to be concerned. Not that Peter shouldn't love John, but that wasn't, Jesus was telling Peter about Peter, and Peter looks around and see John, and then he want to know what's going to happen to John. And we don't need to think hard of Peter, because all of us at some time or other have been at the same place. We were more thought about somebody else than we did about ourselves. Then Peter was younger, both of them young, and not knowing what's going to happen, he wanted to know what was going to happen to John. And Jesus told him, don't you worry about that, Peter. You just worry about Peter, and you try to take care of Peter. If I take care of myself, I've done a magnificent job. If I take care of myself, if you observe me and I'm doing well, then that will witness to you. You don't need to worry about me. You love me and you care about me, but don't put your effort on that when somebody else is talking to you about yourself. Jesus was talking to Peter about Peter, and Peter wanted to know about John. He forgot about the most important person, and that's good too in a sense. But you got to make sure you're there first. Don't worry. Don't save somebody else and you go to hell. You know, you can't get them saved. You know, you need to make sure you're there as well too. Both of them need to be there at the same place. John's task should not be your concern. Your own task should be your concern. Peter was looking at another man's call in ministry. And so many times when we're young in the ministry, we do this. We look at other ministers and we want to be like them. You need to be the best you that you can be. If I be the best Dwight Baggett I can be, that's all I can do. And God, if God would have wanted all me to be like somebody else, that other person, and I would have the same fingerprints. And the FBI said no two people have the same fingerprints. And God made us all, and we all seem to be different. They just are learning something that God already knows. And it doesn't mean that Peter should not have been concerned about John, but he was getting away from the subject. The subject was him. And he should have stayed on task there. And Jesus kept him on task. Jesus challenged Peter again when he told him, said, "Follow me." If we follow Jesus, we can't go wrong. If you follow Jesus, you will always be on the right track. If we follow Jesus, things won't go exactly to us right all the time, and we think it's right. The situations that you're in now, that we all are in now, you might not think it's good, but if we turn it over to God, everything will be all right. Because in the hands of God, Jesus said, "Those whom I hold in my hand, the devil in hell can't pluck them from us." If we're walking with him and he's holding us in his hand, the devil can't take us out. He may can hurt us. Making our circumstances difficult, but he can't take you out of the hands of God because he holds you. He created you and you're doing his will. This is what we need to make sure we continue to do, is to do the will of God. That requirement individual we must stay in our own task. We must not want to do what somebody else is doing. We must do what God have put in order for us to do. If I live the way God would have me to live, stay in his word, talk to God about what he wants me to do, he will show me what he needs for me to do. And then if I listen to him and respond to what he says, I will do what I'm supposed to do. Although and we can be walking side by side, and I won't envy what you're doing and you won't envy what I'm doing, because both of us will have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. This is all that he was telling Peter. Get your eyes off of John and get them on me. And we need to stay focused on Christ. If we give him our undivided attention at my own task, I won't have time to think about what somebody else is doing. I won't have time to worry about what Pastor Hooks is doing down the road. I'm trying to keep this straight right here. And I love him, and I want him to do well. I want him to exalt God, but I need to do the same thing. This is my task here, and you need to be task-oriented. Brother Marvin, Pastor, we just need to stay focused. You need to have tunnel vision, and Jesus need to be at the end of your tunnel. And if you got your eyes focused on him, then things will go well. And if your eyes focus on Jesus, your tongue will be wider than you think. But because he can do that. Focus our attention on him with our energy, with our effort, with our concern, with everything that we have. And God will multiply that when we stay focused on him. My last point, number four. Total commitment demands bearing witness to Jesus Christ and fulfilling one's own task on earth. Total commitment demands bearing the witness to Jesus Christ and fulfilling one's own task while here on earth. Nobody else may think that you are fulfilling what God would have you to do. But if you fulfill your task, you will do the will of God. And in this point, I looked at John the Apostle standing at the cross when Jesus was crucified, with his mother, with the mother of Jesus there with him. "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." The Bible says that from that day forward, John took her into his house and did not leave Jerusalem until after her death. That was John's task. As long as Mary was alive, history tells us that John stayed there with her and cared for her because he was following the command of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Oh, but as soon as she died, he got on the road. He still had a task in front of him because he was one of the apostles that Jesus had left out there when he ascended back up in the glory on that 40th day when he left here, going back to heaven. He was one of those that were there with him. And he saw him leave, and so he cared for him. But then he gave him a charge. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And when you begin to read this word of God, you find where John the Baptist, John the Apostle, went about doing missionary work everywhere that he went. He taught people. He was known as the disciple of love because he seemed to have loved everybody, and he left it there with them. That was his task. He was totally committed to Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ had left this earth. He was committed to him because it was more than, as long as I see you, I'm committed. His commitment was to from a spiritual side. He was committed to Christ because he had given his life. Brothers and sisters, when you commit to something, you need to stay with it. Amen. Most of us, all of us, unless something's wrong with you real bad, you are committed to living. Some people are not committed to living because they commit suicide. I'm committed to living. I'm going to keep inhaling and exhaling as long as God allows me to. So we need to be committed as committed to serving Christ as we are to living. This thing about serving Christ, we need to bear witness of Jesus Christ. And this is what John did everywhere he went. And when you read 1 John, the first chapter in 1 John, all he talks about is that we saw him, we felt him, we knew he was alive. And we ate with him, we touched him, we did all these things. And he taught us to love one another. He said, if any man say that he have not sinned, he's a liar. Because Christ created us and we have sin, and he is not a liar. So therefore, we need to know that we know that we know that we're serving a true and a living God. John was telling them, so my commitment is to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ said it, then it's true. We know about him. And all of this was done by John after the ascension of Christ, when Christ had gone back to glory. So therefore, he didn't see Christ during this time, but he had seen him before. He was the disciple that ran away from him. When they said they snatched his clothes off, that was John running. But he was there. He was there when Peter was denying him. John is the one that got Peter in when they was in there questioning Jesus. John got him in because he knew them. But now it's after, and he's bearing witness of Jesus Christ. He never denied him, but he might have ran. No matter what you've done, if you commit it to the Holy Spirit, God can take you and use you and forgive you. Then you what you've done, it can be a witness and a testimony for somebody else. You need to know that God got you on his mind. He didn't leave you when you messed up. He'll take you on even with all your mess. All of your mess, he'll still take you. I'm through. But somebody, I think Sister Westbrook gave me this, her or somebody. If you didn't, I apologize. And this fits with my message today. One morning at a small southern church, the new pastor called on one of the older deacons to lead the opening prayer. The deacon stood up, bowed his head, and said, Lord, I hate buttermilk. The pastor opened his eyes and wondered where this was going. The deacon continued, Lord, I hate lard. Lard, for some of you young people, is the grease that they fry and get out of cracklings and skin, and they get it, and it solidifies when it gets cold, and they put it in a 5-gallon container. That's how I know lard. Now the pastor was totally perplexed. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour. But when you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits. Lord, help us to realize when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whenever we don't understand what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you are making after you get through mixing and baking. It'll probably be something even better than biscuits." Amen. Now, no matter what your situation is, if you are committed to Christ, when you're going through whatever you're going through, you can sing one line, "I will trust in the Lord," knowing that when it comes out the oven, how it's going to be. It's going to be all right. And I thought about hot biscuits and butter. And don't have some red eye gravy. And don't have any country syrup. Yeah. Might not look like much in the beginning. That's the way our situations look sometimes. They don't look good. But when you trust in the Lord and you lean not to your own understanding, things will come out all right. You need to know that. Will you stand? Total commitment is what God is looking for in this day and time.